Good afternoon. You're listening to Wordplay. This is Sebastian Matthews, and today my guest is Laura Hope Gill, and we'll be with her in a sec.
To turn my body into light with you, my flame, to burn out of me the dark impurity I somehow keep like a hymn written in words God wants me to empty never into you, and yet it is the only song I know. I want to hold your heat in my skin until we're cold again, asleep in the deep bowl of our bed. To wash your dreams off of you with the singe and flush of purest love alive within even these ashes we thieve from the form of rising wings. The young calf, when it comes out, is unwelcome to the world. Many times I watch their birthing circle, the cows attend as the young dark emerged into light and hit the ground. The mother eats the sack. From the hard earth, the heat of blood rises so thick it forms a cloud. The young one also tries to rise, but falls. It is the truth of life to rise, despite the forces that repeat and push us down, as did those who stood around repeatedly knocked that young life down, pounding its side with hot muzzle, as though they tried to force what falls out of it, or to let it die on the determined ground.
Laura Hope Gill, nice to have you here.
Lovely to be here.
Jeff Davis, welcome. Come on in. The music we were listening to at the beginning, and underneath Laura, was William Parker and Hamid Drake's Summer Snow. What were the titles of those first two poems? And then maybe say a few words you'd like and read us another poem.
I would love to. Yeah. Thank you. The first poem was called Singe. And the second poem was called Birth. And these are from a new collection called This Animal Earth. The Alchemical Love Poetry of Sir Isaac Newton.
That's a great title, This Animal Earth.
And that's actually a phrase from Newton. All of these poems are about his alchemy, which is now coming to light in a few books and setting the scientific revolution rather...
on its noggin.
Exactly. And one of the main people who have been bringing this to light, surprisingly enough, was Maynard Keynes, the father of modern
economics.
Macroeconomic theory. Yeah. And so I've been getting a lot from his speeches and reflections on Newton. And I'll read one more.
Great.
And this has an epigraph by Michael White, who wrote a biography called Isaac Newton, the Last Sorcerer. And here it is. Thought. Newton had no way of confirming his suspicions, and the mathematical framework that supports modern research, quantum mechanics, lay more than two centuries in the future. What is hallowed hollows me. The book of the kingdom exposes too much power. An equation is merely a description of equilibrium, a proof of a just God in an expansive universe. Often, after the discovery explodes, it's the math that comes last to translate the light that breaks through matter. But sometimes, when I've suspended the allowance of space to close me, and my mind loosens past its farthest edge, equaling all things seen and unseen, it is my heaven I find that teaches me my earth. In shadow mapping my humble trespass on that which has trespassed, I write what I can of immensity I fail to equal in these small books.
Very nice. Now, you told me on the curb out there that you wrote this collection of this book in a week.
I wrote a collection in 1 week.
What was that? If you can remember, what was that like?
What was it like? It was like a storm. Well, I've been obsessed with alchemy for about a year now.
Yeah, right. For a while.
And have written pages and pages and pages trying to formulate, like, what on earth is this stuff? And then I read this amazing book by Betty Dobbs, and it is The Janus Face of Genius, Sir Isaac Newton's Alchemy. And I was just, I found it all there. It was religion, it was science, it was imagination, it was magic, and it was poetry. And I didn't really have to do much. I'd done so much reading on alchemy, the Negredo and dissolution and disintegration and fire and light. And I had my metaphor. I had Isaac. And I just kind of ran with him for the whole week and wrote his love poetry.
So do you feel like these poems, or many of them, are in his voice? Or do you feel like you were taking his voice on? Or
yeah, they're all
Isaac. They're his love poems.
Well, it's the headspace of that. It's the psychology of the alchemist and what he was hungering for. What he wanted was, and what he got a fair amount of more than anybody else, was the vision into the subtle nature of matter. And and the desire for God. And so I don't think that's... and you just have to add the laboratory gravity.
Yeah.
And that was my main point in it, was our society, or our what we inherited from the scientific revolution, was that gravity pulls everything down. And that's only half of it. He also wrote a book called Gravity and Levity. Mm-hmm. And he said that only on the gross scale does gravity act, but on the subtle scale, levity is the dominant force. Mm-hmm. And that's what all those Tao masters know.
So it sounds like you had all the ingredients and you just had to add stir, you know, for the love.
I just had to write the stuff. Yeah. Exactly. I just had to write it.
Jeff, how you doing, man? You came off the street and you're joining us. You're looking good. Haircut, I can tell.
Rolling along. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have Laura. Laura, it's nice to have you back.
It's lovely to be here in the studio, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me back. Mm.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
You're listening to WPVM 103.5?
103.5.
FM, I should say that. And it's wordplay. You want to read us something else? Or Jeff, do you want to speak a few words to us?
I'd love to hear some more of Laura's work, of course. It's always a treat.
Yeah.
I also wanted to talk a bit about WordFest.
Oh, we're going to.
What's going on with that?
Yeah. So let's treat that to the second half, because that'll be our 15-minute long calendar, I think, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be talking about WordFest, which we'll keep a mystery for a few more minutes. But let's hear some more of Sir Isaac Hayes. I mean, Isaac Newton.
Love poetry is for Isaac Newton. I think what's beautiful about it is that the love poetry that he had was actually for the earth. Mm. It was for nature. And hence the title is This Animal Earth. And also the love poetry is for the, you know, sacred communion of the psychic feminine and masculine. He was speaking to his anima, whom he wanted to come out with. So the title comes from, "Thus this earth resembles a great animal." And that's from "Of Nature's Obvious Laws and Processes in Vegetation." Hmm. And as opposed to the unobvious laws. This poem is called "The Last Magician," and the epigraph comes from John Maynard Keynes. "I did not see him in this light. I do not think that anyone who has pored over the contents of that box," and it's this box of 1 million words of alchemical stuff that was kept hidden in a trunk for 3 centuries, "contents of that box, which he packed up when he finally left Cambridge in 1696, and which, though partly dispersed, have come down to us, can see him in that light. When the blackness in me disintegrates and leaves me face to face with the many facelessnesses of what's behind, waste and wild, the thrust and suck of the abyss. When all I ever called a thought breaks open like a cup unfound by foundry fire, and I draw back into myself, afraid of what's not enough before me. When the firmament withdraws, and the water of the earth does merge again with the water of the sky, and I know not how to either swim or fly, to breathe or hold my breath, as all that's in me changes. When even your voice vanishes from me like a light, then I know I have bored into the silent dark, and I shall again be born."
Back to Wordplay. Laura Hope Gill is our guest, and you have some good news.
We're going to begin with a celebration that, WordFest was just notified 2 days ago that we've received a grant for nearly $10,000 to produce mm-hmm. our first Asheville WordFest outreach, media outreach project. And this is the birth of what we plan to be a permanent fixture in the Asheville literary landscape. This town has heat, it's got words, and we're going to make a fire continue the fire.
Well, Jeff and I know what you mean when you say we, and I think fire as well. But let's talk a little bit about like who's kind of forming around this and some of the history is the
backstory.
Backstory. Yeah, thank you.
Backstory is, because of course, where all still... the great backstories start. A small table at Malaprops one afternoon after WordFest, and it was
wordplay. Wordplay.
All the words.
Yes.
Word up.
Where Glennis Redman, Jim Nave, Jeff Davis, myself, Sebastian.
I wasn't there, but I was in
spirit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was right on it the next day.
Yeah.
Jealous and trying to join back, jump in.
Well, Glennis, Anave, and I were a part of the early 90s scene, and where things were hopping. And we got talking about we need to hop again.
Yeah.
And there is still a vibrant literary scene here. And many of us who were a part of that ragtag Green Door scene have remained committed poets all the way through. And we started to talk about creating a festival. And then a week later, there was a party at my house. And we invited all the poets we invited a group of poets. I can't say all the poets because we haven't got them all on board yet, but we're working towards that. And we designed a festival, and we enlisted the sponsorship of Maine.
Yep. Mountaineering.
Wally Bowen, our technical director, and have since then been writing grants and creating a schedule. And the schedule is formidable.
And the dates?
The dates coming up in April 25th, 26th, and 27th in 2008.
You'll be seeing and hearing about it as we move along.
Right.
But Malaprops is involved. Keith Flynn with Asheville Poetry Review.
UNCA.
Rivendell.
Rivendell Literary Arts. Graham Hackett. And then we're bringing in some big guns. You want to talk about kind of, I mean, because in some ways what's neat about the WordFest is it's got, as all good festivals, it's got these layers of the circles they're broadcasting out. You got the community base. We got local poets. Black Mountain College Arts Museum is going to be involved. But then we also are bringing in Galway Canal. Who else to talk about?
Galway Canal, Patricia Smith, and Simon Ortiz.
And if we can do it, Coleman Barks.
And we're going to talk with Coleman Barks upcoming. Yeah. And Leanne Brown will be coming down.
Right.
And the local poets, who are just incredible. This list of local poets is amazing. We'll be providing workshops and readings. Mm-hmm. And then on the Friday and Saturday evenings, there will be readings at the UNCA Humanities Lecture Hall. Thank you very much, UNCA. And Friday night will be Patricia Smith and Simon Ortiz and Kay Stripling-Byer.
Nice.
And on Saturday night, Glennis Redmond and Galway Canal will be reading.
Sunday night, we're going to do a local reading at the Black Mountain Arts Museum.
College Museum and Arts Center.
Yeah, I'm saying everything wrong today.
You're doing fine. Yeah. But you're saying it so beautifully.
Yeah.
And
we should change the name.
Yeah.
Following the readings at UNCA and the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, there will be events at the Bobo Gallery.
Yes.
And on Friday, these are, you know, returning to our roots. On Friday night, there will be a retrospective to the Green Door.
Yes.
And it will be beer and poetry and performance poetry.
Yes.
And I will pull up my old performance poems that I performed standing on bars in Chicago with my shaved head and combat boots back in the day. And long before Sir Isaac Newton dominated my psyche. And of course...
Don't go there, Jeff.
And... then on Saturday night, Graham Hackett, who was just a hero in the youth poetry scene and using poetry for healing around the community, he will be hosting a Poetics Cafe.
Nice. And maybe on Saturday afternoon, MLK just said that we're maybe going to have a big meet the poets, everybody come together, sell books, have wine. and hang out downtown. So I think we're going to have, good. And then if it all goes well, he doesn't know it yet, but I can visualize Coleman Barks reading at Malaprops. But that's, you know, he's out there.
We will dream that into being. This now is enough of a vibration in the universe that now I'm getting emails from poets who want to come and be a part of this. And it's taking on its own life. And we invite members of the community to become a part of it. We are funded for the basic programming. And what we're hoping to find now is sponsorship for the individual readings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to sponsor a part of Simon Ortiz's reading or part of Galway, mm-hmm. we invite that.
Yeah,
I think one thing we ought to do going forward is talk about levels of sponsorship and so on. And, working with the Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center, with the Mobilia show, Mobiles Over Asheville.
Yeah.
That was very, very interesting in terms of how one goes about finding sponsors at different levels.
Yes.
And different ways of engagement. You can, backing an artist or getting involved with a particular kind of community-based or art, one person in particular, it personalizes it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we should probably not forget what Nave is doing.
Up
ahead of the festival, he's doing his salon.
Right.
And
Black Mountain, I guess.
And that'll be, we'll have more information about that as well.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah. And there is a website, is there not already, for WordFest, I believe.
I beg your pardon?
There is a website already
there
for
WordFest. There is a website, AshevilleWordFest.com.
AshevilleWordFest.com.
So. And we will be expanding that website very soon and be inserting places where you can buy tickets. We are anticipating selling individual tickets through Malaprops and for individual events, and then of course a festival pass. And more information on this is forthcoming.
So. Very exciting.
It is,
and it has such a great heart to it. And the poets involved, we're so united, and we're so energetic and passionate about this. And we're drawing on the energy and the history of this area. And that has been a part of the vision from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it will remain. And that's what fuels us, is this life.
Well, I think here at Wordplay, we're excited because we're going to be doing as much taping live, getting poets in studio as possible so that we can. I know that Maine is also going to be doing all this recording, but it's going to be not just, it's going to be more than just the event itself. It's going to be this incredible, potentially, a teaching tool, archive for, this station, for just at all, so many different levels.
Yes, the extension of WordFest after the weekend is over will be availability of our programs to educators and the general public through the internet. And we'll be reaching out to schools and organizations that might not otherwise consider poetry as a teaching tool or as a community building activity, feature, presence, and really using it to bring community together. And our goal, one of underlying so much of this, is unity, drawing together different populations. We want to represent as many faces of Western North Carolina.
And very different takes on poetry.
Yeah, different voices.
I mean,
absolutely.
The distance between Galway Canal and Simon Ortiz is considerable. And that's what makes poetry really interesting in this time.
Yes. And we're celebrating Galway's work with CORE and his work with the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And
then Patricia Smith brings a whole other level of great stuff.
I mean, doesn't she?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, wow. Well, in that mode, I think I want to hear some more poems.
And sure.
Wonderful.
Would you like to read some?
Antimony, and this is from epigraph is from the Dictionary of Alchemical Imagery. Jung has written that by the 14th century, it had begun to dawn on the alchemists that the stone was something more than an alchemical compound. And this is about how many of the alchemists thought that it was just a practice to be done in the laboratory. But then they start to realize that the presence of the scientist and the mental state of the scientist actually determined the outcome of their experiment. And now we have quantum physics. And anyway, but this is it. A body attracts. This is original religion, my algorithm of life. this matter that matters me down to all that was before and lays me upon the fire at the heart of the world where I grow dark. I believe the creative fire is at the heart of all matter, and it is in my heart. Tonight, it is so restless, caged as a flame on a too tiny candle dying. It so burns for a grander ground, a spread of light that touches all, an ancient code uprising, uncorrupted, for the untold prophecy of God's holy kingdom on this animal earth. The epigraph is from Sir Isaac himself. Let us suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. And I love that for its resonance with Taoism and Buddhism. White paper. To desire such emptiness is to empty the desire of purpose. The bold sea is colorless in a drop. Only what it gazes into makes it blue. The single string on the violin only hums in effect of all that moves and hums around it. Were I like water, clear and still, save for all that moves me, could I remain unmoved, a mere veil, yet another? And could I lift myself from myself and see through all my blindness? Were I the paper on which nature is written in blood and gall, these bones, this flesh, with my mind could I unwrite what's here until the word of God shines through?
Laura Hope Gill, thank you so much. Those beautiful poems. I'm excited. A whole batch of them. And just, they're on fire. As we talk, fire is the theme today. Those are gorgeous poems.
Thank you.
I think we're about done. Another wordplay, just like gone.
Oof.
And we'll have you back. I think the next time we do a Word Fest show, we'll probably bring a bunch of poets in. And kind of do a kind of couple build-up shows or something where we talk about it, but we also bring some of those voices in.
Yes, and we will be publishing the list of workshops, which is just incredible, a chance to work with us, your local poets, and bring about new work in the town and the area. That's our goal.
There's quite a range of workshops.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
I wish I could take them.
There'll be a lot of running around.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it's nice to have you back.
Thanks for coming in.
Great to be back.
Yeah. Jeff, you want to do that, the call stuff? Because I've obviously, I don't have it with me today. I don't have it.
No, this has been Wordplay on WPBN 103.5 FM on your radio dial. Wordplay is rebroadcast Tuesdays at 6 p.m. and Wednesday mornings at 7. And of course, it's available 24/7 on the internet as a stream or a podcast from WPBN.org.